The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus answered the Jews and said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to his Son the possession of life in himself, and he gave him power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As we are now in the second day of the month of November, we celebrate All Souls Day. This is the last day of a sort of triduum we celebrate in the church, All Hallows Eve. For us, traditionally, not a pagan holiday where we dress up as all kinds of strange things that have nothing to do with the saints. That's the 31st of October. Then November 1st, All Saints Day, yesterday, when we celebrate the memory of all the canonized saints in the church and also those who are not canonized, those who are in heaven, but only known to God alone. Today, on this third day, November 2, we celebrate what we will celebrate for the rest of the month of November, the memorial or the feast, because it's a Sunday, of All Souls. Here we pray for the souls in purgatory. The issue of purgatory, of course, is somewhat lost in the modern church context in many, many segments of the church, especially, I would argue, in North America. Many Catholics tell me today that they understood that purgatory went away at Vatican II. I didn't know Vatican II had the authority to make a supernatural reality vanish into thin air like that. It's quite a claim. But just to give you a sense of the context of how this is celebrated in other parts of the world, for instance, today in many parts of Latin America and in the Philippines included, and I can speak from personal experience here, if today were not a Sunday, any other day of the week, it would be a national holiday. There would be no work. There'd be no access, really, to anything. Stores would mostly be closed, perhaps except for restaurants and grocery stores. And everyone in the country heads to the cemetery to clean the graves of their loved ones, to adorn them with flowers. They bring the favorite foods that their loved ones would have enjoyed if they were still with us here on earth. And it's an enormous national tailgate, if you like, to give you an American sensibility of this, at the cemetery. Most North Americans shudder at the thought of visiting cemeteries. It's a little too unpleasant, too macabre. But for Latinos, and I'll tell you, for Filipinos for sure, this is just a very natural and wholesome and healthy part of remaining connected to our beloved dead. And in these cemeteries, as all these celebrations are going along, and usually in many sectors of the cemetery, masses are being said from dawn until dusk, even by candlelight. And you'll see droves of people going to the cemeteries to honor their beloved dead. Now, this is lost in large segments of the church in this part of the world. And here I want to talk about first purgatory as a doctrine of the faith, And I'll close with indulgences, but somewhere in between our reaction to the idea of purgatory in the first place. So we first might want to define what is purgatory. Purgatory, the Catechism reminds us, is a place of temporal punishment where the souls of the just who did not die as enemies of God, those who did not die in a state of mortal sin, go to spend time being purgated or purged of their sins of their past or their attachment to sin in the present. In a very real way, purgatory is really one of the great signs of God's mercy for us. And why? Because in a system of strict justice, which is what most Protestants believe in, there's only two options when you die: heaven or hell. That's it. But it's clear from the testimony of the saints, the doctrine of the church, and Revelation, that only the perfectly perfect, the saints, go to heaven. How many of us, brothers and sisters, are going to die in a state of perfection, having made reparation for the sins that we committed in this life and any of our attachments to these sins, even as we go into death? How many of us? Hardly a person. My grandmother made me swear to her before she died that I would not canonize her at her funeral, because she said, "What you will do," and I said, I know. And she says, "Because no one's going to pray for me." I said, "I know." And this is what largely happens as a reaction in our culture today. Even in the church, and I would just say here, let's just restrict it to our family of faith. When someone dies, what do people normally say at funerals? "Oh, Aunt Thelma's in a better place." You don't know that. Nobody knows that. And by the way, Jesus did not die so we could go to a better place. I've lived in some pretty bad places in the United States. Menlo Park is a better place. Jesus did not die for me to go to Menlo Park. My aspirations are not this sort of amorphous better place. I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you. That's where I want to go. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love him, St. Paul reminds us of what heaven is. So if you like, people bristle at purgatory because they say, "Father, you mean so they would still not go straight to heaven?" My money's no. If I were a betting man. And even my grandmother, who was a very saintly woman, told me, "You know, I'm no saint." And I go, "I know." So don't stop praying for me. So what did I do? When my grandmother died, we took the ring that she was wearing on her finger, and I embossed it to the bottom of the chalice I said my first Mass with, so that every time I lift up that chalice, my finger is inside her ring that she wore when she died, so I will never forget to pray for her soul if she's in purgatory. Now, if she's out of purgatory, in other words, we have prayed and fasted and made sacrifices for her to move on to heaven, then the merits of those prayers are transferred to some poor soul who has no one praying for them. And so if my grandmother is already a saint, then she's praying for me and for us, as all the saints are, those we celebrated yesterday. But today and the rest of the month of November is dedicated to all souls. I have a very, very deep devotion to the holy souls in purgatory, because I have a really good feeling I'm going to end up there. So I want to make spiritual friends for those who can pray for me to get me out of there so I can get to heaven and join them. The great news about purgatory is everyone in purgatory eventually goes to heaven. So let's get back to when Aunt Thelma dies. You know, she goes to a better place. This is really at the heart of the sin of presumption. Too many, I'm afraid today, presume their salvation. And they presume their salvation that they will be saved on their own terms, not his. They, in their own estimation, are good people. I don't kill anyone. I say, "Well, that's good to know. Didn't realize I might be in danger talking to you. I don't assault anyone. Okay, well, that's great. You must be a saint. Please." This is hardly the story of the church. Heaven is not gained without a serious fight. And that battle is mostly spiritual in this world. This is required of us. We have to be in the fight. It's why we're called the church militant, because we're still striving to reach the church triumphant, even though we will pass probably through the lens of the church suffering, the souls in purgatory. Again, one of the great signs of God's mercy. What about then indulgences? Of course, this is a very controversial topic because of the rise of Protestantism in the 16th century. Not because of indulgences themselves, but because there were segments of the church that were selling indulgences. That's a problem called simony, and that's always been immoral and illicit. But there were those who did that, and that's true. In fact, most of St. Peter's Basilica was built on the money of indulgences. That's a fact of history. So what are indulgences? Well, we're in a Jubilee year of 2025, the Jubilee year of hope. And this is something that I hope you will assimilate into your own spiritual lives, the idea of earning indulgences for our loved ones in purgatory. Indulgences don't help the souls who are in heaven, the saints. They're helping us. But it can help the souls in purgatory and one another here. During the year of Jubilee Year of Hope, which we're in, 2025, Pope Francis, before he died and declared this Jubilee Year, said that we could earn 2 plenary indulgences a day just this year. So you might ask, okay, what does that mean? An indulgence is a partial, or in this case, a full plenary forgiveness of time owed in purgatory for sins already forgiven in the sacrament of penance, in confession. So every day you can earn an indulgence for yourself or a deceased person, whether you knew them or not, makes a little difference, by doing all 4 things, these 4 conditions. Number 1, you have to do the indulgence act. For instance, the seminary chapel down the street is a Jubilee door pilgrimage site. All the seminarians every day can gain indulgences by just going in and out of the chapel. That's the indulgence act. The second is you have to say prayers of the Holy Father, now Leo, not Francis. You also have to go to confession and communion within a week, plus or minus. And this is the hard one, not be attached to sin, even venial, at the time you're completing the indulgence. So the question comes up, Father, how do I know it worked? We don't. Any less than we know who's in heaven other than the canonized saints and who's in purgatory. As we like to say, judgment is for God. But thanks be to God, as a closing point, that he has given us this power of the keys, this mercy of purgatory on the one hand, and our capacity to assist those who are in purgatory through the practice of indulgences. There's lots of other ways you can earn indulgences. Quite easily, if you just come to church and spend 15 minutes praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, whether in the tabernacle or exposed in adoration, that itself is an indulgence act. And there's many others. You can look these up all online. I did the research. It's all on there. And it's mostly true. Okay? Señor ChatGPT actually knows what he said. So, during this month, please join us as we should be praying always for the souls in purgatory. Do not leave them abandoned. Because the last person I wanted to meet in heaven was my grandmother, had I delayed her time in heaven because I failed to pray for her. She was a tough lady. May all the souls in purgatory and all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.